Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
First Samuel chapter 21. I want to pick it up at verse number 1 in the New Living Translation. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. "Why are you alone?" he asked. "Why is no one with you?" "The king has sent me on a private matter," David said. "He told me not to tell anyone why I am here. I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have." "We don't have any regular bread," the priest replied. "But there is the holy bread, which you can have if your young men have not slept with any women recently." "Don't worry," David replied. "I never allow my men to be with women when we are on a campaign. And since they stay clean, even on ordinary trips, how much more on this one?" Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. David asked Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or a sword?" The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. "I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah," the priest replied. "It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here." "There is nothing like it," David replied. "Give it to me." Thus far, the words of God. You may go to your seats around the building. I want to come in this worship experience back to that eighth verse, 1 Samuel chapter 21. David asked Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or sword?" The king's business was so urgent that I didn't have time to grab a weapon. That urgent. You see that, and I want to talk this morning using this as a subject, acting with urgency. Right. With urgency. Last night, I opened this weekend and I said, move it. Because Satan wants you to be stationary. You got to move. And begin prayerfully, you're moving closer to God and not moving further away. But we're talking this morning experience acting with urgency. Of course, we lift David. And obviously, this dialogue and this encounter is many years after his Bathsheba experience. Matter of fact, he killed Goliath and he was nothing but a youngster. So you would be led to believe that probably this dialogue is happening later in life. later after we have learned some lessons. But David was still imperfect. And if you read this entire chapter, which I'm sure some of you will in your private time, that David tells an untruth. As a matter of fact, he ends up telling an untruth. And you got to be careful no matter where you are, and you can get to the more mature levels of life, but you always have to understand that you've got to trust God's word. Sometimes with trusting God's word is not always going to be easy. And again, sometimes you're going to look at the very fact that if I do this, there will be a consequence. But here it is. What do you want to do? And this is the point of tension in the text. Am I going to fear people or am I going to fear God? And you have to make that decision. You could make people happy, but would not please God. At the end of the day, what do we want? We want God to look at us and simply say, well done. Again, finishing off that statement, KK, my good and faithful servant. I want you to be good, but I want you to be faithful. Faithfulness means that I'm going to come through whatever the difficulty. I was listening on the radio riding in about the rains of going on down in southeastern Texas and all of the flooding that's taking place. And then I'm looking around with all of the rain and that's taking place here after the Sundays of this past week. And we were out acting like summer had arrived. But now we've been reminded, no, you have to realize that the weatherman and weatherwoman is not in charge. That's the reality. But here it is in this text that at this mature point, war is going on. And even now, war still is going on. There's the war within and the war without. The war within as I'm dealing with myself and dealing with my demons and dealing with whatever challenges and whatever negativity might try to surround my life. And I'm dealing with the demons from without. The demons without, they are toting guns and smoking weed and they are cussing and carrying on and all the kind of negativity. But we realized that we got up this morning, Deacon McCormick, and we wanted to make sure that we pressed our way. In pressing our way to the house of God, that we didn't let rain get in the way. It might have been that you had those outfits on, and I see you with your good British umbrellas coming in here today, and I see you coming, stepping out, and making sure, but you understand that there is a word from the Lord. And thank you, God, for speaking to my situation. Thank you, Lord, for meeting me and comforting me and letting me know that I don't have to give up, give out, or give in. I don't have to worry because I cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. Well, there needs to be a sense of urgency. Urgency. I was down with Dr. Austin and Reverend Quarles the other day to Morehouse College, and I saw those young men over all around the chapel moving around with a sense of urgency. Thank God. Thank God. They weren't dragging, but they were walking with a bounce in their steps, and thanks be to God. But you have to realize whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do it with urgency. When I was growing up, I spent a whole lot of time on a baseball diamond playing baseball all the way up through high school. But one thing that always impressed me about the Japanese little leaguers is that they would get a walk and they would run to first base. They didn't walk, but they ran up the baseline. They moved with a sense of urgency. And I'm thanking God that now we've got some of our young people that they walking around like they got the age of their great grandparents and all dragging their feet, all that kind of carrying on. They got belts on, but belts are not holding anything up. Mark, I don't need to see your drawers. I don't need to see your underwear. And my, I know it. I can talk to y'all because you feel the same way I do. When you see them coming in, you say, oh, my God, this is what it's all come to. We can't tie our shoes. We can't hold our pants up any longer. All of that. And then you have your daughters and granddaughters and great-granddaughters. And you don't want them to bring these kind of Negroes to your house. You want to bring somebody that has a sense of focus in there, that sense of urgency. I'm thinking there's too much laziness. Our ancestors were not lazy. That was something that the races would put on our culture. No, we watched their babies. We worked out in the field, all of that. And my God, after all of that was done, we still knew how to worship. Now, here we are today, and we have all of the modern appliances, and my God, some of you got robots at a home right now vacuuming your floor, all these kind of things, and now you don't even have to say it, you don't even have to touch anything, but you can come in your house, say, lights come on, lights go off, you can talk to things, and all these devices that we have, but we have become, because this is the first time in America that the non-religious and the non-faithful are in the greatest number. Many persons, and then you have another crowd, because then the next question has to be, which Jesus do you serve? Because everybody not talking to the same Jesus. My God, we realize that there needs to be a sense of urgency. There are three things we're going to look at in this worship experience. Number one, take the king's business seriously. Taking the king's business seriously is very important. When the king has business with you, you ought to have some sense of urgency. My God, don't you know that if you are alive and breathing and moving, that there is a distinct purpose for your life? Don't you minimize that. There is something special in you. God has placed a gift in you that he's not placed in anybody else. And my God, Lord, I want you to bring out of me everything that you placed in me. Lord, I thank you for depositing the gifts that I have. And if you don't know what your gift is, keep on talking to Jesus. But because I don't know doesn't mean I'm going to sit down or get lazy, but I'm going to keep on pressing. I believe there's somebody this morning that pressed your way here, because you know one thing about rain falling, that's good sleeping weather. You got to shake that stuff off. Oh, it's cloudy, it's rainy. All you got to do is pull the covers up. And I wake up whenever I wake up, but I thank God that somebody, you got up anyhow, you shook that off, and you said, I'm pressing my way to the house of God. Now, I'm not even going to vote today after I leave church, when I don't know what I'm going, but you need to take the king's business seriously. The second thing is the importance of eating holy bread. Now, I'm going to break that down, because I'm not just talking about bread, but I can say that you got to eat the right stuff. Yeah, a whole lot of us, you can't function because you're eating too much of the wrong stuff. And I'm not talking about what's on your plate. I'm talking about what's in the diet of your life. And if you got the wrong stuff in the diet of your life, it's not, if you surround yourself, Dr. Yvonne, with folk who are always negative and down and always can't ever smile, see nothing happy, no joy anywhere. That's not the kind of person you need to have in your spirit. I'm not trying to say that you're better than other folk, but what I am saying, that I'm not going to let you pull me down to that level of negativity. My God. And so I want to eat that which is holy. That's why some of you, before you came in here, you already fell on your knees. Before you came in here, you already had a little talk with the Lord. Before you got out of your car, you breathed a prayer. And I suggest you do it, that you pray. Pray that somebody's soul gets saved. Pray that somebody is not in darkness and thinking about suicide and all the kind of things that, no, I want you to trust in God. Look at what has happened in the world, that now you got more and more people of African American descent who are thinking about and committing suicide. We got them taking their lives. It's a dangerous thing. And then you got that other culture that is so reckless. They think that this is the wild, wild west. And what you doing with guns and fighting and shooting and all the kind of negativity that happens, my God. But I come to the house of God with a sense of urgency. Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, move in my situation. Lord, bless my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Oh, my God. And so there is an importance of eating that which is holy. My God, I want to be holy. Holiness is not just for the Pentecostals and the apostolic. No, holiness is for every believer. Every believer needs to be Holy Ghost filled. Every believer needs to have the spirit of a living. And don't you be afraid of something, somebody, because they speaking in tongues and you don't understand it. Just keep on trusting in God. Keep on believing in God, because he will make a way. I thank God that we could come out yesterday morning, that we could feed the people. And I'm thankful for our missionaries and our volunteers, that on a rainy Saturday morning that you could get up and serve the people of God. That's why people keep coming to our church, because we're not just satisfied with the worship on the inside. Because if you know anything about Jesus, his greatest witness was not on the inside. His greatest witness was on the outside. Something I think, I come in to worship Reverend Emmanuel Williams, but I leave here to serve. But here's the last thing we'll talk about this morning. Never be content with regular. Never be content with regular, ordinary, just trying to make it. No, you, man, we not ordinary, we special. You are a child of God. Don't ever minimize yourself to the regular. And don't apologize, because God has blessed you. Thanks be to God. You trying to hide your blessings. No, I'm not hiding my blessings. Now, I'm not going to be one that's going to walk around where you're going to see all my designer stuff 10 miles away. Some folk, they are so designer down, you can see them a mile away. Now, I like some nice stuff, but I'm thanking God. But you don't be content with the regular. I remember when I was younger, you could buy 5 and 6 suits, and you get all up, then you're going to get 5 suits for the price of one. And you get those cheap suits, and they wouldn't last very long. Do I have a witness out there? Because some of y'all tried it too. You didn't go to the main store. You went around the corner, and somebody had a deal in the dark. My God, and you didn't pay them. You had to look both ways before you paid them your money. And I know some of you did it. They pulled up to your house, and they had, I got a TV on the truck. I got something, and I'm not messing with you, because some of you were out there, and you picked up some stuff, and you know, you didn't ask them where they got it from. I got furniture on the truck. I got a TV on it. I got a new stereo. You can come on out of here. And you just went out there with your Christian self in the name of Jesus, and you gave a little something, and then you walked in there grinning and smiling from ear to ear. But what I'm trying to tell somebody, never be content with regular. Don't be content with regular. I'm thanking God every day I walk into this church and I look around and I say, thank God that we didn't take any shortcuts. Thank God, because when we were sitting at the table, Deacon Overby, and we were talking about, well, we could leave some of the things unfinished, and we made a faith step, not because we had it like that, but we made a faith step. No, we're going to finish everything. everything. We're going to finish everything in the basement. We're going to finish both elevators. We're going to finish everything. And I thank God that God will meet you at the level of your faith. And right now, we are happy. We're sitting in a nice, comfortable church. You're not here sitting in folding chairs. You're sitting on and now and not nice. Because we're not going to be content with regular. And I thank God that when Solomon was building the temple for David, he was not going to be content with regular. He said, if my father could not finish it, I'm going to finish it because I know I got a heavenly father that I have to answer to at the end of the day. Well, let me back it up and let's unpack it today. Number one, taking the king's business seriously is very important. I thank God that you don't want to be casual, but you want to give it all that you have. Lord, here I am. I'm a wretch undone. Here I am. Weary, worn, and sad. Here I am. But I'm thanking God, when you put yourself in the hands of God, there is no limit to what God can do. And that's why we come down to that eighth verse, that there was something serious going on. And David asked Ahimelech, I know it's a war going on, and the king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. Matter of fact, if there was a fire in your house, it said, don't worry about grabbing anything. Just get out of there. Move quickly. And some of you have had that experience. You could not delay. You could not hold back, but you had to move on out. I'm thanking God today that I'm moving on out. And David said, I don't even have a weapon, but I will believe that God will supply. Is there anybody here and you don't have it? No, you don't have it, but I know someone who does have it. He has everything. He has the beginning, the end, the first, the last. He has everything. Matter of fact, we used to sing that song. He has the little bitty babies in his hand. I'm thanking God today. And so David said, I don't have a spear. I don't have a weapon. I don't have any of that. But I came with a sense of urgency. Thanks be to God that I came with a sense of urgency, my God. And then when he comes, he finds out that there's a spear, right there, that belonged to Goliath, the man who he had killed a long time ago. And then here he is. He said, there is a spear here. In the ninth verse, says, I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, which is the same that he had known Ahimelech a long time, and it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. The ephod was a garment on the front of the priest. But I want to let you know that the ephod would have been in the Old Testament like a robe. Behind my robes, you're going to find the sword. I put it in the corner because I didn't need that sword. But I'm thanking God that there's another sword all of us need. And that is the word of God. Carry the word with you. And that's what happened to David. He didn't have his sword. And when you go somewhere as a child of God, make sure you have the word in your heart, in your mind. That's why we have our Christian education, Dr. Yvonne, because we want to have people who are equipped with the word of God. Thank you, Lord. There's a whole lot of things that are going to change. Matter of fact, it says that the print industry is dealing with a whole lot of problems, and this newspaper and that newspaper is having problem after problem, but there's another document. It's not having any problems because it's still alive. It's still relevant. Thank you, God. Somebody, and all around this world, all around this globe, folk are going to stand up behind pulpits and lift up the name of Jesus. I'm thanking God today, whether you in Africa, whether you in Springfield, Massachusetts, whether you in South Carolina, whether you in New Jersey, whether you in Oklahoma, thanks be to God that the word of God is true. Now, David, I didn't bring my sword, but I want you to take Goliath's sword, but I want you to know something, Reverend Honest, that the sword of Goliath did not work for him. I said it did not work for him because Goliath was dead and the sword that he had didn't work for him. But David said, give me that sword. And the reason why you can give it to me, because I can take that sword and put it with the power of God. And then there is no limit to what God can do. It didn't work for you because you weren't operating under the anointing. You weren't operating under the strength of God. But here it is. David said, give it to me. Well, let me come on a little further in this passage that David is acting because he realizes that the king's business is to be taken seriously. It's important. It's critical. I've got to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you seek God first, he will supply. He'll be the wind underneath your wings. Do I have a witness here? Thanks be to God. I got joy, and I get joy when I think about what the Lord has done for me. Thank you, God. But not only am I taking the king's business seriously, is important, but there's an importance of eating holy bread. What are you eating? What's on your plate? What's in your spirit? Thank you, God, that you got up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. And here it is. The priest would come to the temple and would have 12 loaves of bread, fresh bread. That was the holy bread. And then when David comes, David says, I need something. What do you have? What do you have? Thanks be to God that no matter what is in the place, David said, what do you have? Verse number 6, it says, since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in his tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. I just walked in this church, and I had to walk past the kitchen. It's hard to come up here on a Sunday morning when you gotta walk past the kitchen with fresh bread, bacon, and eggs. They already getting it ready for us. But I'm thanking God there's something about fresh bread, a fresh blessing. That's why we got up early this morning, because I wanted a fresh word. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for a fresh word. Is there anybody here? I don't want it contaminated. I want a fresh word. I need to run on a little while longer and see what the end is going to be. And thank you, God, that the priest said, we just got some fresh bread. Thank you, God. I want a fresh blessing. I want a fresh word. My God, I used to go to the convention and I see these preachers. They would go around a table where they would sell sermons. They would get these old sermons and they would take them back to their churches. And they would, Dr. Fontenot, you remember those tables. They had those tables of sermons. My God, that's not a fresh word. That's a stale word. Do I have a witness here? But I'm thanking God. And then when I saw it as a young preacher, I said, that's the way you have to do it. Get that word and take it home. I tried it. I got to tell you that. But then I realized that the folk don't need a stale word, but they need a fresh word. Hallelujah. That's when I go into my study, have a little talk with the Lord. I said, Lord, why don't you give me a fresh word? I don't know what they need to hear tomorrow, but I'm thanking God. Lord, have your way. Any way you bless me, Lord, I will be satisfied. Hallelujah. 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 Fresh word. Thank you. Thank you for the priest. The priest said I'm going to give you. I don't have any ordinary bread, but I'm going to give you some holy bread. And that's my last point. Never be content with regular. My God, here it is in verse number 4. Yes, God, of 1 Samuel chapter 21. It's right there in this particular story. Yes, it's very clear to us. He says, we don't have any regular bread. The priest replied, but there is the holy bread, which you can have if your young men have not slept with any women recently. My God, that I don't want you to come to the table impure. I don't want you to come to the table with a raggedy life, because that's what some people do. They come to the table. They want God to bless them, but they're going to live a raggedy life after they leave. They live in a raggedy life before they enter. And then once they come in the house of God, their mind is a million miles away. I'm thanking God that you got to get your mind right, get my heart right, get my spirit right. I'm thanking God that when I come into this place, I come in here as an empty picture before a full and a flowing fountain. I don't need regular. I don't need to just go through the motion. I've come to bless the name of the Lord. I've come to lift up my hands and give God the praise. Do I have a witness in here? I will praise his name. I will magnify the name of the Lord. I will lift up my hands. I'll open up my mouth. I'll throw my head back and give God the glory. Is there anybody here? In spite of what you're going through, I will lean and depend on Jesus. He's a mighty God. Yes, Lord, I have a sense of urgency. I'm excited about the goodness of the Lord. And why am I excited? Because every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Why are you so excited? I've seen him do a miracle. I've seen him turn somebody's life around. I've seen him bless folk. I've seen people give their lives to the Lord. He is not a regular God. He is an awesome God. Keeps on doing awesome things. Do you know him today? Do you know him today? Do you know him today? And if you know the Lord, you ought to praise his name. Praise his name. He's my Alpha. He's my Omega. He's my beginning. He's my Alpha. Praise his name. Doctor in a sick room. Lawyer in a courtroom. Praise his name. Mother for the motherless. Father for the fatherless. Praise his name. Can nobody, nobody do me like the Lord? A sense of urgency. Say yes, say yes, say yes. Urgency, urgency, urgency. I'm acting with urgency. Tomorrow's not promised to me. That's why I gotta praise him while I have a chance. Hallelujah. 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 Urgency.
Come on, clap your hands.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park. I run these doors.